Tim. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous.
Wisdom.
The reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians.
Let us be attentive.
Brethren, grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is he who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And his gifts were that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Peace be to you, the reader.
Wisdom, arise, let us hear the Holy Gospel.
Peace be with us.
And with your spirit.
The reading is from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Let us be attentive.
At that time, Jesus heard that John had been arrested. He withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and dwelt in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Peace be to you who proclaim the gospel.
Glory to you, Lord. Glory to
you. Good morning. Happy winter. As really many of us now feel finally trapped as prisoners in another Minnesota winter, I want us to try to imagine what it means to truly be trapped as being trapped in a prison. 105 years ago, during World War I, British prisoners of war contemplated their imprisonment day after long day in the notorious Holzminden POW camp. The Germans had assumed it was escape proof. The arrogant, vicious, and vindictive commandant overseeing the camp was Hauptmann Karl Niemeyer. The Allies considered the Holzminden camp the worst POW facility in all of Germany. Escape seemed impossible, and life was miserable, imprisoned day after day there. The prisoners of war longed to escape. For most of us, it's pretty hard to imagine imprisonment. Most of us can't imagine long-term captivity. The long days, even years, just waiting for salvation. But the captivity I want us to contemplate now is not being a prisoner of war, but a captive in Hades. In today's epistle lesson, we read about a different captivity, a different and much longer captivity than that of the POWs in World War I. I want us to try to contemplate the captivity of the departed in Hades. That captivity went on not just for a few years, but for some thousands of years. A captivity that was harsh beyond measure, not under Hauptmann Karl Niemeyer, but under the most arrogant, vicious, and vindictive being that ever was, the devil himself. Captivity in Hades by the devil is something perhaps we don't think about much. It is something, however, we ought to sometimes contemplate. We often like to conveniently ignore the fact that there may be consequences to our actions. We feel self-righteous and never consider that captivity in Hades for all eternity is a possibility for us. We just assume that we'll be saved, which flies in the face of our orthodox understanding of salvation. Some years ago, I was on summer vacation in the state of Maine. My family and I went to the Pittston County Fair, a small little fair in rural Maine. As I walked around, I was addressed by a man who had a booth with all kinds of Bible verses written on it, who asked me if I was saved. I had a little conversation with him, and I told him, "We don't know how God will judge us." Not wearing my collar or my robe or anything, I told him I was a Greek Orthodox priest. He said, "Don't think that all that will save you." And I said something like, "That's right, we cannot presume," that's my point, "we cannot presume to know how God will judge us." He contemplated that for a moment. We don't know how God will judge us, and we should never presume we know what God will say to us on that dread day of judgment. That is why in a few months and every year in the Orthodox Church, we have a whole Sunday before Lent dedicated to the contemplation of God's judgment on Judgment Sunday. That is why we continually ask for salvation. That is why we continually pray, "Lord, have mercy." That is why we continually ask for God's forgiveness, God's grace, God's mercy to save us from everlasting captivity in Hades. Today's epistle lesson recalls a prophecy regarding the greatest jailbreak of all time from captivity in Hades. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 and following reads, "Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men." In saying he ascended, what does it mean, but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is he who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. The Orthodox understanding of this passage is simple and is summed up in the Orthodox icon of the resurrection over there on the wall, in the far wall there, the big one there. When Christ died for our salvation, he descended into Hades and freed the captives there. He freed the captives from Hades who were imprisoned for a very, very, very long time. They waited for freedom from the worst prison imaginable. They waited for Christ's salvation through his death and resurrection. Surely the Allied prisoners in the Holzminden camp contemplated their own captivity. How couldn't they? But that contemplation led them to action. That contemplation led them to action. 13 prisoners of war were determined to get out. They excavated a tunnel over a period of 9 months, working in rotating teams of three, one to dig, one to ferry out the dirt, and the third to work the bellows in a makeshift air pump to keep the digger from suffocating. These men kept the tunnel a secret from the other prisoners until the night of the escape. Only then, after the 13 had crawled out and been given an hour of getaway time, was the tunnel open to others willing to try their luck. 75 of the 550 prisoners of war lined up in order and rank and importance, but by the time another 16 men had crawled their way out, rubble blocked the tunnel. The escapees slipped down beneath the barbed wire and back up into a bean field. The Germans recaptured 19 of the escapees, although they lost the salvation they thought they had gained. But 10 made it all the way back to England. Their contemplation of captivity spurred them to action and their eventual salvation. We are not in a prison camp, but the possibility for each of us to enter the eternal one should spur us to action. We are not in an eternal prison camp, but we need to avoid being captured and dragged to prison. If we walk through life completely ignoring the possibility of capture, we're easy targets. It is the person who is unaware of the danger that is most easily captured. But the person who contemplates the possibility of capture, the person who contemplates the danger, that person will be spurred to action and avoid capture at all costs. That person will be hardest to capture. Brothers and sisters, we ought to stop congratulating ourselves and contemplate the threat of capture by the enemy. By contemplating this, let us be spurred to a life of repentance and freedom from sin in Christ our Savior. And finally, let us pray wholeheartedly at the opening of each divine liturgy for the peace from above and for the salvation of our souls. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy.